We'd like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Welcome. It's good to be back, Marty. It's been a while.
Well, today we're going to continue on the life of Hudson Taylor, and this is our second session recording on his testimony. And last time we talked about his birth and his consecration. His parents consecrated him to the Lord even before he was born. Then we went through a little bit of his early life to see how he was brought up, and he was prepared actually to become a useful vessel to the Lord. And then I think last time, Bill, we recounted his salvation experience, which really came about through the Spirit's convicting and through the prayer of his sister and his mother, and also by reading the Word and reading the commentary by reading a gospel tract of the Word. So the Spirit, the Word, and prayer were used to bring Hudson to salvation. And then toward the end, last time we mentioned that Hudson passed through some early trials, and it's included. One was in his seeking a spouse, and he found a sister whom he loved, but found out eventually that she was not willing to follow him and taking his way to go to China. So today, Bill, we're going to begin with Hudson's impression of learning. He had a desire to learn to serve the Lord by faith. And he had the opportunity when he was still, I think, under the age of 20, he got to meet this brother named Edward Cronin. And that was, if you recall, it was one of George Mueller's, I think it was his brother-in-law, and he took the gospel to Baghdad, Iraq, and the way he went was totally depending upon the Lord in faith to supply his needs. And Hudson was very impressed, and he was convinced that if one would do God's work in his way, he would never lack God's supplies. So, of course, he realized this in teaching, but he knew he lacked the personal experience of really learning to live a life in this way of dependence upon God. And he realized this was a very serious matter. If he was going to go to China, he would be far away from all human aid. And he would really need the Lord for his protection, for his supply, for his help of every kind. So he knew he would not have a claim on anyone or anything, but only on the Lord. So he realized he really needed to not just read this in a book or hear of others' testimony, but he had a desire that this would be his learning and he could begin to live this way even while he was in England. So he began to take this way. He prayed, he asked the Lord to give him opportunities to begin to live this kind of life by faith.
Right. He was really unique, Marty, in that he just did not want to go over to a foreign country like all the other missionaries to be supported by some kind of a mission board. Like you say, he was really touched with Edward Cronin, this one who brought the gospel to Baghdad. So he... Cronin was like a pattern to him. Hudson was really serious about going to China. He said to me, it was a very grave matter to contemplate going out to China, far from all human aid, to depend on the living God alone for protection, supplies, and help of every kind. So eventually his burden for China grew more and more. He wrote to his mother and asked for her prayers. At the age of 20, just imagine, he's just over the year of a teenager. At the age of 20, he was baptized. He consecrated himself anew to the Lord. And with a view of going to China, he seriously began to prepare himself to go by studying, of course, the Mandarin language. He decided to pursue a course of medical education to be a help medically to the Chinese, to give him a way to get the Chinese ones to open to him. So he needed medical skills to go to China. He took a job then as a medical assistant to this Christian brother by the name of Dr. Robert Hardy, right? He moved into a very poor neighborhood there in England, worked as an assistant. He did, in his free time, he distributed gospel tracts, preached the gospel, and he sought opportunities to exercise faith that God would provide for all of his needs. Hudson was really serious in beginning a life of faith to prepare him to live over there and work and preach the gospel, not only on the coast of China, but on the in the inland areas, in order to bring the Chinese to Christ.
Right. So he had quite an experience. He had prayed, like you say, for opportunity to begin to live by faith. So when he took this job as a medical assistant with this Dr. Hardy, this doctor told him that because he was such a busy man, he asked Hudson to remind him when it was time to pay him his salary. So Hudson determined that he did not want to remind his employer directly, but wanted to remind the Lord and ask the Lord to remind the doctor. So one of his initial experiences of really depending on the Lord. So he did this, and of course the doctor sounds like he was a little bit older and he was quite busy, and apparently he forgot to pay Hudson his salary. So Hudson began to have some experiences. In particular, he recounts that on one Lord's Day, when he was free, he began to go out and visit the poor in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And apparently that was his custom in preaching the gospel and caring for people. And he came across this man that he met on the way, and this man begged Hudson to come and pray for his wife, who was near death. So Hudson went with him, and he said when he got there, he encountered a scene of real poverty. And this man's wife and their newborn infant and other children, Hudson said, were obviously suffering from the lack of food. Well, at that time, Hudson, he had a little bit of money. Records he had a half crown left in his pocket from his previous payday. Mm-hmm. But when he was with this man, his heart went out to him. He wanted to pray for him, but he said he found it difficult even to pray because of an unwillingness he had within to depart with his last half crown, with this last coin in his pocket. So he began to consider, wow, if he only had 2 shillings and a sixpence instead of a half crown, he would be glad to offer these poor folks a shilling. But he said the Lord began to really touch him, that he was not really trusting in God alone, but was trusting in God plus the money that he had in his pocket. So anyway, the Lord touched him during this experience, and he said even he realized the flow of joy in his heart stopped. And he said even when the man asked him to pray, he could hardly pray. So he said then the Lord spoke to him. When the man asked him, he said, if you can help us, for God's sake, please help us. And he said the Lord spoke to him within, to reminded him of the verse, to give to him that ask of you. So this kind of speaking from the Lord enabled Hudson to just give the man his last half crown to this family. And he said not only was the poor woman's life saved, but even himself, he felt that he was saved also. So when he went home that night, he said his heart was as light as his pocket. He just felt full of joy.
Right.
And of course, he had an experience. The very next morning, someone came to his door and gave him an unexpected envelope, which had a half sovereign, which was worth 400 times the amount of the half crown that he had given away.
Yeah, that was marvelous. Yeah.
You know, Hudson said, wow, what an experience this was. And he said he had a 400% return on his investment.
Yeah. Right.
Of course, he worked at the bank and he maybe thought in those terms.
Yeah.
But he said he just touched him that quite often, he said later on, this incident he would be reminded of it and be reminded how faithful the Lord was. He said, if we are faithful to God in little things, right, we can really gain the experience and strength that will be helpful to us in the more serious trials of our life. So this was one of his genuine experiences of beginning to trust in the Lord. And of course, the doctor eventually did remember and paid Hudson, you know, after a period of further trial. You know, Hudson used that half sovereign that he got, but eventually it ran out also. But eventually the doctor did remember to pay Hudson. And all these experiences really led him and confirmed in him a strengthening that he would be able to live this kind of life by faith if he went to China.
Mm-hmm. And that was really quite an experience, Marty, of someone receiving that 400 times amount after he had given up the last coin he had. Of course, eventually, like you say, he was finally salaried by his boss. And then, of course, as the years went on, he eventually moved to London in about 1852. Of course, that was to continue his medical training, preparation for China. And his father and this Chinese Evangelization Society, they offered to bear his expenses during a further time of medical study. But Hudson declined both offers, and he felt that he was putting himself completely in God's hands, not trusting in man mm-hmm. for any support, but trusting fully in God. So, of course, that was a difficult time even in London. Of course, while working on a cadaver, he contracted fever, and he almost died from that fever, but the Lord miraculously recovered him. He continued to pray, of course, during this time for an open door to China, mm-hmm. Eventually that Chinese Evangelization Society was ready to send him over there. So Hudson, he took the opportunity, just 21 years of age, right, to go over there. Of course, his mother saw him off. That was a touching matter. She loved him quite much. He loved her quite much. And then eventually, as the ship was pulling away, Hudson wrote of that as he and his mom parted, he says, you know, as we passed through the gates and the separation really commenced, never shall I forget the cry of anguish wrung from that mother's heart. That was really mm-hmm. Touching him to part because, she may never see him again.
Right, right.
It took him. And, you know, in those days, because they don't have the modern transportation like airplanes that we do, the voyage by sea took 5 months. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was not easy. There was a lot of storms at sea, long periods of boredom, monotony, seasickness, discouragement. No doubt he would probably try to preach the gospel to the crew, but mm-hmm. they were totally indifferent. But then eventually, March the 1st of 1854, there he was in Shanghai. And then he says that his feelings on stepping ashore there in China, he cannot attempt to describe. He felt that his heart was though it had not, it had not room and must burst its bonds, while on the other hand, tears of gratitude and thankfulness fell from his eyes. Mm-hmm. So there he was, the reality. Here he is. He's a complete stranger in a foreign country, you know, thousands of miles away from England, London. Mm-hmm. And of course, right away he encountered, obviously, we can understand, many difficulties right from the beginning. Communication problems. Where is he going to live? Housing. Cold weather. And then what he avoided, He had to bite the bullet in a sense. He had to depend at the beginning on Western missionaries, which he did not want to do, and that humbled him mm-hmm. to take care of many of his necessities during those first months in China.
So I think that was quite something when he first landed there. This was his first stepping onto the Chinese soil. And of course, when he got to Shanghai was in the middle of a civil war.
Yeah, right.
He said the sufferings around him just abounded. And of course, he said traveling was very dangerous. And at that time, in the middle of this situation of war, the housing and the supplies and even the food was, the prices were just grossly inflated. So it was a very tough time to just come to China. But he said, how did he get through all these things? Where did he find the grace and the peace and the stability to go on? He said he had to keep coming to the Lord in the word and through his prayer. So he once wrote a letter. He said, you ask me how I get over my troubles? He said, this is the way. I take them to the Lord.
Oh, I wish we could all learn that.
It's quite a statement. So,
yeah.
Of course, not only had problems without in his environment, but even the even there at the missionary settlement, he was became a subject of criticism. And, of course, he eventually moved outside of the missionary settlement to begin to live among the people. And, of course, this, you know, this was different or unusual from the rest of the missionaries. And they, I guess, apparently began to criticize Hudson.
Right.
So he said, how did he keep himself from the bitterness? He just had to really keep coming to the Lord and opening to the Lord in his prayer. I think that's quite a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, within the first 2 years, Hudson did begin to take some journeys into the interior. And of course, he was still in the process of learning the Chinese language, and he still had little money. But he went forth, and he went with this other brother who was a medical doctor, Dr. Parker. And the two of them began to have some of their first journeys into the interior. Of course, they realized right away that the foreigners were feared and somewhat hated. So most of these people have never seen or never been visited by Westerners. And, of course, none of them had ever heard the gospel. So this was a brand new endeavor, but Hudson and Dr. Parker went forth. They distributed hundreds of New Testaments and books mm-hmm. and tracts. I was very impressed with this build. It's very yeah. similar to what we still do today. You just distribute
right.
the Bible and distribute books and distribute gospel tracts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way that the gospel began to go forth into the interior of China. Of course, they had all kinds of responses from the Chinese people. Some hid behind the doors. Some began to be a little more curious, and some began to take some interest and even became friendly to them. And of course, the medical service between Dr. Parker and Hudson, who had some medical training, this really helped to open the door of many hearts to the people. So these brothers were busy. You know, it said in 1 month they traveled for 25 days and preached the gospel in 58 different cities. So they were really on the move, and they really did quite a work in the very beginning going into the interior.
That was really quite something, right? Right. 1 month, 25 days travel, preaching the gospel to 58 different cities. Wow. About this time, Marty, Hudson took a couple steps which was quite contrary to the traditional missionaries of that day. Number one, he exchanged his, you know, the European clothing, obviously, that they wore for Chinese dress. In other words, in order to gain the Chinese, he felt at one time he needs to wear Chinese clothing. And even he began to wear, you know, that Chinese pigtail hairstyle. He mm-hmm. even did that. And, of course, as expected, the people were not that much afraid of him. And he was easier for him to associate with the people. But on the other hand, you could imagine the criticism he got from the Western missionaries, including, you know, I mean, the Westerners, including the missionaries. The Western missionaries were bothered by this.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he was undeterred. He eventually got the boldness to advise even other missionary candidates to do the same thing.
Right.
And he said, let us in everything not sinful. In other words, we don't get involved with sinful things, but in everything that's not sinful, we need to become Chinese just like them. that we by, you know, by any means may save some. Of course, referring to the Apostle Paul, that Paul, you know, Paul, you know, was all things to all men that he might gain some there during Paul's ministry journeys. The second thing he did, of course, was he severed the ties, and this was not an easy thing, he severed the ties with the Chinese Evangelization Society. Of course, he felt the society was, you know, I guess not so clearly knowing what's going on in China, and they were inexperienced, just, I guess, woefully inadequate to provide for their own missionaries. Right. So Hudson really suffered from this physically and emotionally. But of course, the verse in Philippians 4:11 helped him a lot, right? In whatever circumstances he was, to be content, you know, what Paul went through.
Right.
Of course, when, you know, Hudson, he became aware that the society was operating on borrowed funds, and he felt in good conscience he could not continue with them, so he resigned. Then eventually, through much prayer and consideration, he decided to go forward without seeking donations. That's a big thing. Or even he didn't feel to let his needs be made known to others. So he trusted in the Lord for his full supply. Of course, this is not always smooth, we can imagine. But of course, he testified later, you know, how blessedly he did lead me. The Lord led him. He can write, I can never, never tell. Like a continuation of some of my earlier experiences at home in England. So this, now he was beginning to experience this matter of living by faith there in a foreign country.
Well, Bill, it's quite good. Some of the early experiences that Hudson had, both in his preparation to go to China and in his first couple years there, and his initial steps that he took. I think actually it's maybe enough for today to hear the testimony up to this point. Hudson Taylor's story is lengthy, and his experience is profound in many aspects. So I think we got a little taste today of how he began to learn to trust the Lord to meet his needs, and the steps that he began to take, and the get a little taste of his gospel service as he went forth into the interior of China. So anyway, maybe we'll stop here for today, Bill, and continue next time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
All right, thank you.